Morning. Today's daf from Baba Basra Sadi Hay. We are on Sadi Dal Amud Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud. Tashma is where we're beginning, right at the midpoint of the daf. Gemara is picking up from yesterday's discussion. Yesterday's discussion was first we'll start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Sadi Gimel Amud Beis tells us that when you sell fruit, so there is a margin of error, an allowable margin of error, where it's understood that, especially if you're buying from the farmer, it's not going to all be fruit. There's going to be some schmutz in there as well. And how much schmutz is allowed? So the Mishnah basically said 4%. The Mishnah doesn't say 4%. The Mishnah says rova kav for every saw. There are 6 kavim in every saw, a quarter of a kav. So that's 1/24. So that's how I got to my approximately 4%. It's not exact. But the 4% is the allowable margin of error. So that means that if in the apples that I bought, the oranges that I bought, turns out now that 2% of it, 3% of it is not apples, it's just schmutz. So that's fine. That's perfectly allowable in the transaction. And from the lokeach standpoint, he can't say, hey, wait one second. 2% of it is made up of non-apple. I'll say to him, yeah, but that's allowable. That's an acceptable margin of error. Okay, what if you went above the margin of error? So obviously that's not good. In other words, that's why we have to draw a line somewhere. So if you went above the margin of error, that's not good. And Rav Huna said in yesterday's daf on Sadi Dal Amud Aleph that once you go above the acceptable margin of error, so now there has to be a refund. But not to go just below the margin of error, but rather a full refund. So that means, let's say I have 5% of it now is schmutz. So now me, the mocher, I have to take out the 5% and replace it all with good. That's the halacha of Rav Huna. The Gemara said yesterday that we can understand Rav Huna in one of two ways. Number one, we could say it's a din, meaning ikar hadin. It's the strict letter of the law. Why is it the strict letter of the law? Because what do we say? We say that up until 4%, so generally speaking, the lokeach is mochel. But then after that point in time, there's no longer any mechila. So meaning that, so now that I exceeded 4%, now that I'm at 5%, so we could have said that up until 4% he was mocha, but beyond that point in time, no more mechila, and that's why I have to replace all 5% now of the non-edible, of the schmutz, with actual good fruit. That's one way to learn it. Or another way to learn it, says the Gemara, is that really it's a kenas. Really, me'ikar adin, all you need to do is just drop below the acceptable margin of error, and that should be fine. But because there's a strong likelihood, we have a suspicion, a significant suspicion, that what you did is that you tampered with the product. You actually introduced schmutz into the product so that you'll get a little bit more profit margin. So because we're suspicious that that's what you did, so the Chachamim said, okay, now we're gonna constant you, now we're gonna fine you, and therefore all 5% have to be replaced, or anything above the margin of error, that and the margin of error all needs to be replaced as a knas de rabbanan and as a penalty.
By pigs and by wine, it's 10%.
Okay, good. We'll talk, the wine's coming up later. The wine's a different sugya, but the distinction between them is not just percentages, but with wine. So you don't expect schmutz in the wine, right? It's a different discussion. So right now we're going to be just talking about the peiros and the tinofis and the peiros. Okay, and that's what we did yesterday, and that's effectively that was yesterday's daf. And what the remainder of yesterday's daf did, and we will just continue along right now, and the sugya is going to end halfway through the first amud of Tzadi Hamad Aleph, is basically try to bring rayas, proofs for and against Rav Huna, and the basic idea is as follows. Once you have exceeded the limit, and once we're going to penalize you on the excess, are we also going to penalize you on the keren as well? So you remember yesterday we dealt with a couple of cases that are good, old, tried and true cases throughout Shas. So the classic case where you have two depositors by a person, one gave him 100, the other gave him 200. And each one of them come at a later point in time and claim that they're the Baal Masayim, they're the owner of the 200. So what do you do under those circumstances? So it's a machlokis. But again, it touches into the question of, I know each one of them is entitled to get 100, what do I do with that third 100, munachat sheyavo aliyahu, do I constant just the extra, or do I also go back to the base amount as well? That was a machlokis. Okay, we did that yesterday. Tashma, shar sheyesh bo ribis. This is where we're picking it up right now. This is a braisa dealing with a loan, and a loan where interest was being charged. So when one Jew is loaning another Jew money, so you're not allowed to charge interest. That's an issue in the Torah. We spoke about it extensively in the fifth parak of Bava Metzia. And shar sheyesh bo ribis. So now let's say we have a note, And in the note, it actually writes, I'm going to expect back not only principal, but interest as well, P&I. And under those circumstances, what's the halacha? The halacha, obviously, is that you can't collect the interest. It's an issur d'oraisa. Even the writing of the shtar is an issur d'oraisa. So the... And apostle the witnesses who write on the star as well. Anyway, star sheish bo ribis konstan osav inu gova lois kem lois ribis div Rameir. Rameir says that once you have such a loan document, so you can't collect neither the interest nor the principal as well. Oh. And that now seems to be an excellent raya for Rav Huna. Because what does Rav Huna tell you? Rav Huna tells you that once you go beyond what is allowable, so then there's a knas on the extra and on the original as well. That's Rav Huna's halacha. What did we just learn together according to Shitas Rav Meir? Once I charge interest on the loan, that forfeits my ability to collect interest and principal as well. Seems like a wonderful raya for Rav Huna. So the Gemara says it's not a wonderful raya for Rav Huna. Hachi hashta. Gemara says really we can separate and make distinctions between the cases. Because in the case of interest, when do we know that you were a varyan? You were an avaryan at the time that you wrote up the note. And at that point in time, it's very easy now to come to the conclusion that what you did is wrong, you violated the Torah by writing up the note, and so therefore, there's going to be a knas. And that knas penalty is not only going to cover the interest, it'll cover the principal as well. But over here, yes, there was 5% tinofus in the product. And yes, 4% is the allowable margin of error. But we don't know that you were an avaryan. We certainly suspect that you are. But we don't know that you are. So it can easily make a distinction between the case of Ribis, where we know what you did is wrong. It's unequivocal. Over here, we have a high suspicion. But we don't know what you did is wrong. So the cases obviously can be separated. Tashma, the Gemara says, Misefa. Well, let's look at the Shitas Chachamim on the case of Ribis, on interest. The Chachamim say that what you could do is you could collect the principal, but you can't collect the interest. So what do you see according to the Chachamim? That we are going to take off the ribis because you're not allowed to collect that. But at the same time, however, you still maintain your ability to collect principal. Now, this would be a raya against Rav Huna. Because basically now what we're saying is, anything that was over, that's stricken from the record. But that which is acceptable, that will keep in place. That's not what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said that once you exceed 4%, let's say you're 5%, all 5% is going to be taken away from you. And you're going to have to replace all that with good. So this would be a raya against Rav Huna. Again, Hachi Hashta, the Gemara says, we can make a distinction. Look, in the case of the loan, are you allowed to lend principal? Of course you are. Are you allowed to collect back the principal? Of course you are. There was no issa regarding the Karen. However, hacha, but in the case of the shmutz in the peros, miyema dekule lo aruve ariv. Look, we're pretty sure you tampered. Now, I know a moment ago we said we don't know for sure. But over here, though, and at this point of the Gemara, we have reason to suspect that you tampered because it's more than 4% tinofus. And now, once we have reason to suspect you tampered, it could very well be that not only did you tamper with that 5%, but you also tampered the 4% and the 3% and the 2%. And it could be that all the tinofus was your tampering with the product. So the Gemara says, so there, we could say that the Chachamim's position, that you're allowed to collect principal, may not be akasha against Rav Huna Shita over here. Tashma. Gemara comes and teaches us another halacha. Now over here, just a brief introduction. This is based on a Mishnah that's coming up later in Baba Basra. The Mishnah later in Baba Basra will talk about the sale of land. Now, land obviously is measurable. So there really should be no margin of error when it comes to the sale of land, because it's a linear measurement. And back then, when they would measure land, they would do so one of two ways. They would measure it linearly, okay? Or what they would do is that they would measure based on the produce that it was able to produce. And that was generally, the land was sold in units of what's called a kor. Now, a kor is a volume. It's a volume of produce that can yield from the field. And a kor is equivalent to 30 saw. So, generally speaking, land was sold in units of a kor 30 saw. Okay, and that means now that when I buy a land and the contract says that I'm going to buy the land, so we are going to contract, obviously, that the land I'm going to buy is the measurement of 30 saw, which also has a linear measurement as well. Now, over here, it does get a little bit tricky, but let's assume, and we're going to discuss this more later on in the Masechta, but let's assume that in the contract I write the words hein chaser, hein yaser, which means that, look, if it's a little bit more or if it's a little bit less, I'm okay with that. Meaning, obviously, I'd like it to be measured as perfectly as possible, but again, same basic idea. There's a margin of error, and I'm ready to accept the margin of error. What is the margin of error in terms of the sale of land? So, interestingly enough, it's going to be the same 4% that we were discussing over here by the sale of fruit. So that means that, again, we're measuring land by the volume of produce that it yields. So if I'm buying a land of 30 of a core, which is equal to 30 sa'a, so how much either greater or lesser than is acceptable? So the answer is going to be 30 quarter kav. Meaning for every sa'a, a quarter kav is an allowable error. So for 30 sa'a, 30 quarter kav is going to be an allowable mistake that is made. It's not a mistake, it's just, you know, margin of error. So, with all that stated, so now let's learn first a Mishnah that we are going to be learning later in the Masechta. Tashma. This is coming up on Kuf Dalet. So not that long from now. So Tashmadni Rabin Barav Nachman Lo Es Amosa Bavad Hu Machzir El Machzir Lo Es Kol Arvayin Kula. Now we're not learning the Mishnah together, so I'm just going to correct myself. We're learning a Braisa on the Mishnah. The Braisa on the Mishnah deals with the following scenario. So let's say I, the seller, told the buyer that I'm going to sell you a core. We write in the contract, I'm selling you a core. And then let's assume Ein Chaser Ein Yaser, a little bit more, a little bit less. In other words, with a margin of error. And a margin of error 4% of a quarter kav for every sa'a. Again, 30 sa'a, 30 quarter kav as a margin of error. Now it turns out that I sold the land, we measured after the sale, and it turns out that we exceeded the margin of error. So let's just say, for example's sake, that it turns out that it was 31 quarter kavim greater than the promoted core of land. Okay, so exceeded the margin of error. So the Braisa tells us what is refunded, not just the little excess, but the entire extra. That's what the Braisa says. I'm reading the Braisa again. Lo es amosa bavad hu machzir, ela machzir lo es kol harivayin kula. So after we measure, we found that there were 31 quarter kavim extra. All 31 quarter kavim are going to get refunded. Now, this would seem to be a slam dunk raya for Rav Huna, because that's exactly what Rav Huna said in the case of Tinofis. Once you exceed the limit, so then all the extra gets refunded. So, you see that it all is going to go back, and this would seem to be an exceptional raya for Rav Huna. The Gemara says, once again, it's not comparable, because over there in the contract, you wrote the words, we're talking about the sale of property. But let's consider the following. Let's say, again, we're talking about the sale of land. We are now talking about where there was an excess in land sold, 31 quarter kavim. That's a lot of extra land. In fact, it's so much extra land that could be viewed as an independent parcel of land. So there, the reason why it's all going to get refunded is because the seller saying to the buyer, slow down. We exceeded the margin of error. And now let's look at the aggregate total of the margin of that which I sold extra to the core. That's a piece of land, independent in of itself. I'm going to take it all back. So the Gemara says, Masha Enke, now, the Kevin, I'm sorry, I'm just reading the Gemara. The Kevin, the Chazilei, Chashivasa Be'ape Nafsha V'Hadra. Since that much land is so significant, so therefore it's all going to get refunded. Masha Enke, now the Gemara doesn't finish the sentence, but we're going to do so. I mean, the Rashbam does so as well. I'm getting this from the Rashbam. But in the case of Peros, not necessarily, because again, what's the extra when it comes to the Peros? It's Shmutz. Meaning, it's not something that in of itself is significant. It's extra schmutz. So you could make the argument, again, Rav Huna says that once you go beyond 4%, once you're at 5%, all 5% needs to get returned and replaced. But what you could argue is that no, because even though I exceeded the 4%, even though I went 5%, but what are we talking about? We're talking about schmutz over here. So just we'll knock it down to 4%. And is that 4% significant? Of course it's not significant. It's still a schmutz. So we could make a very simple distinction between the sale of land, where you've exceeded the margin of error, and the sale of fruit, where you exceed the margin of error, because in the land case, the excess is actually land. In the peros case, the excess is schmutz. A very simple distinction. Tashma. We are now in Sadi Hamad Aleph. We are about five lines. We are five lines from the top of the Amud. And, sorry, counting is bad today. Four lines from the top of the Amud. I went beyond the margin of error. I went from four to five. Okay, Tashma, the Gemara says, coming here. Ha'ona'ah. Pauchas mishasus nikne mekach. So, we know that when you sell goods, so you have to be selling at fair market value. And we're going to go over the rules of ona'ah again. We've been doing a lot of this lately, but we're in the Bava, so you're going to hear a lot of ona'ah throughout the Bava. The place we discussed it extensively was in the fourth parak of Bava Metzia. But now we're discussing it again by over here in the sixth parak of Bava Basra. So the halachas of ona'ah are that I'm supposed to charge fair market value. If let's say I charge a little bit above or a little bit below fair market value, so we'll assume mechila. Okay, so what is a little bit above, a little bit below? Anything below a sixth, okay, which is approximately 18%. Okay, so if I charge, let's say, 15% above fair market value, fine. If I charge 15% below market value, okay, not great, but okay. Now, what if it is exactly a sixth? Nekach kayim, the sale stands, but the entire extra needs to be refunded. So if I charge exactly a sixth above, so then sale stands, and then the excess is going to be refunded. And then what if I charge above a six? Let's say I charge 20% over its fair market value. No good. And at that point in time, bitul mekach, the sale is totally voided. Okay, that's the basic halachas of ona. The Gemara quotes, how ona pachus mishusus nikne mekach, yosef mishusus bitul mekach, shesus karna umachzir ona. And add a shesus, the mekach is kayim, but it's got to be refunded. Now, amai lehadar ad pachus mishusus. The Gemara now seems to ask a fantastic question, which is that let's say you don't hold of Rav Huna. Okay, obviously we do. But let's say you don't hold the Rav Huna, which means that if I go beyond acceptable margin of error, I just need to scale it back to just below acceptable margin of error. Okay? So that means now that in every transaction where Ona was involved, what's the big deal? Just refund the difference so that you're just below a six. And that should be good. The mere fact that in cases of ona, where I went above the six, so what do we say immediately? Bitul mekach. What do you mean? Just bring it right below. Refund a difference to just right below a six. Seems to be a good proof for Rav Huna. That once you've exceeded, so that's it. We're going to slap a ban on not only the excess, but the principal as well. This would seem to be a good raya for Rav Huna. The Gemara says, Shema minako, hecha debay ladure, kule mehader. Again, once there's a refund, it all has to be refunded. Like Rav Huna saying, hachi hashta. Again, the Gemara says, I wouldn't compare the cases of ona'a to the allowable margin of error in the case of a sale. Why? Because look, let's talk about a transaction, a regular transaction. What does the buyer want? Well, obviously, the buyer wants coupons and a discount. But principally, what does the buyer want? He wants to pay the fair market value of an item. So in negotiation, he wants to know that basically it's fair. What I'm buying is fair. And I'm not going to be paying an above it, and I'm not going to be paying below it. But again, we're humans. We strive for perfection. We fail pretty much all the time. But, in other words, in the sale, if I'm charging, let's say, 5%, even 10% over its fair market value, okay. Meaning, in principle, what I wanted was really its fair market value, but a little bit above, a little bit below, we're going to assume mechila. However, shesus yidia v'la machal inish. Now, if it's exactly a six above, people feel that. People know that. Meaning, and I know it's a little bit difficult to explain, because why did you then agree to the sale if you know you were paying over a six? That part, I admit, is a little bit tricky, but people feel it. And so therefore, if I'm paying a six above what its value is, sale stands, but I'm going to get refunded that difference. But then, if it's above a six, at that point in time, it is totally egregious. It's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to pay a fair market value. I did not, and therefore the mekach is batal. And again, the Gemara doesn't finish the sentence, but we're going to have to finish the sentence now. As opposed to the allowable margin of error for the schmutz in the sale of fruit. So again, over there, and I'm presenting it like the Rashbam. I'm not reading the Rashbam inside, but I'm presenting it like the Rashbam. You see, there, in that sale, everybody knows there's going to be schmutz in the pears. That's nature. That's how nature works. It's organic. It's an organic product that I'm selling you, and you know there's going to be tinofus in there. And so there, under those circumstances, one could make the argument that instead of 4% schmutz, it was 5% schmutz. Okay, but you know what? I knew going into the transaction there was going to be schmutz. It just happens to be that it exceeded more than what was allowable. 4% is allowable, 5% is not. So you know what? If there's 5%, so just bring it down to 4%. I knew the 4% was in there. Masha Enkein, when it comes to the transaction, and I was overcharged above a 6, you see, you basically broke the tacit agreement that you and I had. What was the tacit agreement? I'm going to pay fair market value. Once we go above fair market value, that's not the kind of transaction I wanted. And therefore, the whole thing gets nisbato. The whole thing is nullified. So again, a simple distinction that can be made between ona'a versus our discussion. Tashma. Last one. Hamakabo sata mechaver lita. So we have a kablan over here, a contractor. And what is he? He's a landscaper. And he agreed that he's going to plant fruit-bearing trees on the person's property. So he goes and he does his job. He plants 100 trees. I raise the mekabah alav eser borios lemea yos mekamegagin alav esakol. Now we made an agreement that I was going to plant in your field 100 fruit-bearing trees. So what is an allowable margin of error? 10 of those 100 trees. If 10 of those 100 trees, 10%. If 10 of those 100 trees are not bearing fruit, so then the deal gets not canceled, but rather the landscaper now has got to go back. Let's say 11 of those trees now are not bearing fruit, so now he's got to replace all 11 of those trees. Megal gan alav esakol. Once again, we seem to have an ironclad proof for Rav Huna. Rav Huna says once you go beyond excess, so then you are penalized, not only the excess that you went above, but all the tinofis. Here, we're basically saying the same thing. I told you I was going to plant 100 fruit-bearing trees. 10 of them are allowable to be non-bearing fruit. Obviously, I'm going to strive for 100%, but 10% is allowed to be non-bearing fruit. And meanwhile, the Braisa says that once you hit 11, I got to replace all 11. Seems to be a wonderful raya for Rav Huna. And for the last time on the sugya, the Gemara is going to deflect the raya. Amar Rav Huna Bereda Rav Yoshua. Kol yeser mikan kebalita mitchila dami. If let's say you exceeded 10 trees, 11 trees now are not bearing. 11 trees are significant. And again, quoting the Rashbam, just not inside, paraphrasing the Rashbam, 11 trees is an independent field. So if 11 trees are not bearing fruit, so now the landowner will say to the landscaper, buddy, that's 11 trees. That's so significant, that could be a field in of itself. And now what you're going to do is, you're going to just replace one of those trees? To use the Gemara's language, say the Gemara's language one again, it's kebalita mitchila dame. We got a whole field over here. 11 trees that are not bearing fruit. So you say to the landscaper, you get back to work and you replace all 11 of those trees. And again, to finish the sentence, Masha Enkein, when it comes to the schmutz in the sale of fruit, again, the Rashbam says, you know the schmutzka that's going to be there. It's understood. It's part of the deal. And so it's just a question of what is allowable and what's not allowable. Up to 4% allowable. 5% not allowable. But you could make the argument that, yes, you're now at 5%, and yes, you got to scale back. But you only got to scale back to 4%. You don't got to scale back all the way down to zero. Okay, yes. Right. In other words, how the 10 look on the property? Understood. If it's scattered, so then I can hear your argument. This is based on a Gemara coming up later. We didn't see this inside. Right now, I'll just simply say that they're in one area, although that's not mukhrach. Doesn't have to be.
It's like the land we say. Access land is one
piece. Understood. Yeah. I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know. Martek shel yayin. Okay, we're talking now about the cellar. Selling the cellar of wine. So the cellar is made up of multiple caskets, multiple barrels of wine. And what did we learn in the Mishnah? Again, there's a margin of error, an allowable margin of error. So if I sell you a cellar of wine, so 10%, if there are 100 barrels in the cellar, if 10% of them are not good, so the Mishnah says that's okay. All right. I know. Phil, you're shaking your head like it can't be.
With the grain, it's mixed and so on. Here, every barrel is independent. Right. And he's telling me a barrel of vinegar.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be... Okay. Okay. There's much to discuss over here. Let's start off with the Gemara's first point. Hey, Chidami. So the Gemara says, once again, let's talk about the language of the contract. Okay? Mm-hmm. It could be that this is a verbal contract. This could be a written contract. But let's talk about the language of the contract. If let's say I'm selling you a cellar of wine, and I didn't say the words that, so then it's hard to read the Mishnah for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a second. And if I say I'm selling you this cellar of wine using the word zeh, kasha. The Mishnah is really hard to read, again, for reasons which we're going to articulate. And if I say I'm selling you this cellar, and I didn't use the word yayin, so then kasha. Then the Mishnah is going to be really hard to read. Meaning, however the wording of the contract goes, it's really hard to read the Mishnah in any three possibilities, the Tanya. And now we're going to explain all three languages and what all three languages must mean. Let's go. Number one. Martiv Shayana ni mocherlach. I'm going to be selling you a cellar of wine. And I don't say the words that. So, what is the buyer hearing right now? I'm going to sell you a cellar that is made up of wine. Every barrel in that cellar is going to be good. Because that's what I told you I'm going to sell. So no sin lo yain shikulo yafe. So the result of such language is that the entire cellar, every barrel is going to be good. There's certainly not going to be a 10% margin of error. 10 barrels are not going to be good. That's not what the negotiation was. A cellar made up of wine. Now, Martev Zeh Shal Yain Ani Mochalach. Now, if I say the word Zeh, and I'm pointing specifically to this cellar, meaning I'm telling you right now, you see this one right here, the word Zeh. The word Zeh always means that we are pointing to a specific item. So I'm telling you that I'm selling you this wine, this cellar. Now, I'm also telling you that it's all made up of wine. So here, no sin lo yaina nimka bechanus. Here, the wine does not have to be grade A quality. Now, I'll speak a moment for the grading of wine. Okay, there is grade A. I'm making this up. Okay, I hope you don't mind. So grade A quality wine is superior. It's the best quality of wine. Okay, grade B is the wine that's sold in the stores. The wine back then, and I guess you can make the argument now as well. But back then, wine that was sold in the stores was typically not the best stuff. It was not superior. It was inferior. The Rashbam describes the people buying in the store knows they're not getting the best stuff. Okay, and then after that, we're basically talking vinegar. Okay, so in the grading system of wine, there's grade A, grade B, and then vinegar. We could call it grade C. So, if I say yayin zeh, sorry, not yayin, but martev zeh ani mocher lach yayin, if I say the cellar, but I do add the word wine, so then it has to be wine, but it could be grade B. But it's got to be wine. But all of it could be grade B. And then finally, martev zeh ani mocher lach afilu kulo chometz igil. Now, if I just simply say I'm selling you the cellar, and I don't even use the word wine, so then whatever the contents of this barrel and the cellar are going to be as is. And therefore, if it's all vinegar, well, basically the contract is as is. And so therefore, you're just going to get that which is in the cellar, and it could all be vinegar. So, higio, you get it. So where are we right now in our Mishnah? Totally lost. Totally lost in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah talks about some sort of transaction that will force the seller to have 90% of the barrels really good and 10% of them okay. Where are we going to have that? In language number one, where I say just simply Martev Shel Yayin, 100% good grade A wine. If I say Martev Zeh Shel Yayin, none of it has to be grade A. It could all be grade B. If I say the words martef and I don't use the word martef zeh and I don't use the word yayin, then I'm selling it to you as is, and whatever it is, that's what it is. Where does our Mishnah fit in any three of these languages? Right now the answer is, it doesn't fit. So we have a problem. The Gemara is going to try to solve. La'olam damalei martef shol yayin. Stam. So, we're going to say that was that the language that was used was martef shol yayin. And that would be language number one. Now, v'tini b'reisha d'braisa u'mikaba alav eser kosas oslameya. But then, also, in the contract, it actually stated that with a 10% margin of error. Oh, okay. So in other words, martif shal yayin, not using the words there, but also agreeing explicitly to a 10% margin of error, which means that of those 100 barrels, 10 of them can be grade B. But that's got, it's still got to be wine, but grade B. Uvistami mekabel, the Gemara says now, is that really an accepted term? V'atani Rabbi Chia taught in the Braisa, Hamocher Chavis Yain L'Chaveiro, that if I'm saying a barrel of wine, no sin lo yain shekulo yafe. Every drop in that barrel has got to be grade A good. So the Gemara says, really, you think that's a question? Shani Chavis dekulo chad chamerhu. Come on. We're talking about a barrel of wine. A barrel of wine which has liquid wine content in it. So it's binary. It's either going to be grade A, all of it. It's going to be grade B, all of it, or it's going to be vinegar, all of it. So there, obviously, in that one singular barrel, there's not going to be a 10% margin of error. And I'll say it, although the Gemara doesn't say it, with the karile my karila. Like, and what was even the Gemara's kasha to begin with? Okay, I don't know. But va'atini rajvid debe Rabbi Yoshia. Okay, so where do we stand right now? It's very difficult because we have three different languages that are employed in a contract in the sale of a seller, and none of them really fit in our Mishnah. Either I say Martev Shayin, it should be all good. I say Martev Zeshal Yain, it should at least all be grade B, but all of it could be grade B. Or I say Martev Zeh, so then it's as is. Where do we have our Mishnah where it's a 10% margin of error? 90% has to be grade A, 10% could be grade B. Where is that? So right now we are, at least we think now, where you're using the language of Martev Shal Yayin, but with also an explicit agreement, 10% of it could be grade B. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? We have a braisa. V'hatani Rav Zvid debei Rav Yoshia. Rav Zvid taught the following based on the base medrash of Rav Yoshia. And the braisa reads like this. Martev Shal Yayin ani mocher lach. I'm selling you a seller of wine. No saying lo yain shekula yafe. So, what has to be the sale? 100% grade A. Anything less than that is not going to be a satisfaction of the agreement. Martef ze shal yain ani mocher lach. If I'm selling you this seller of wine, no saying lo yain shekula yafe. Umekaber alav eser kosas oslameya. So, it's still got to be almost 100% grade A. Here, 90% of it has got to be grade A. 10% of it could be grade B. Right? That's the kosas oslameya. V'zeu otsa sheshanu chamin b'mishnah senu. And oh, by the way, that's our Mishnah. Meaning the Braisas know the Mishnah, and the Braisa is saying that is the kind of language that's employed in our Mishnah when you say the words martef zeh. So now in this Braisa, obviously, does not agree with what we just presented. We presented a moment ago that what's our Mishnah talking about, where I say martef shal yayin. The Braisa clearly does not agree with that. The Braisa says martev zeh shal yayin. When I say this seller, and I'm pointing specifically to this seller. And only in that case do we say that 90% of it has to be grade A, 10% of it can be grade B. So, So the Gemara says, so our Mishnah must be talking about when the word zeh was used. Okay, so far so good. One more string, loose end to tie up over here. Kashya zeh, azeh. Now, if you look at the Amud Aleph of today's daf, so basically what do we had? We had two braisas. The second braisa, which was the third to last line on the Amud, was Martev Shal Yayin Ani Mocher Lach, no saying lo yayin, shekulo yafe. Martev zeh, shal yayin ani mocher lach, no saying lo yayin, shekulo yafe. So when I use the word zeh, so what's it got to be? 90% of it grade A, 10% of it grade B. Meanwhile, if you go look in the middle of Amud Aleph of today's daf, what if you say Martev Zesh Layanin Morchalach Nosin Layain Hanimkar Bechanos? All of the barrels can be grade B, all of them. So now, good. You gave Pshat our Mishnah. That's wonderful. But meanwhile, the brises, the two brises, are contradicting one another. Answers the Gemara. Kasha is as that. Lo kasha. Had amalei lemikba. Had lo amalei lemikba. It depends, says the Gemara, whether or not you state, you articulate whether or not the wine is going to be used for cooking, or whether the wine is not going to be used for cooking. Now, happens to be contrary to what I would have thought. I thought the pshat in the Gemara was that if it's wine for use for cooking, it could be low grade quality. It's just the opposite, at least according to the Rashbam. That wine that's used for cooking has to be, huh? Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. Wine used for cooking has to be grade A wine. So now in the brisa, in the first brisa where I say zeh, right, martev zeh shel yain ani mochelach. So there would it say that all of it could be grade B. Yeah, because you didn't articulate that the wine was going to be used for cooking. And so therefore, basically, I'm looking to buy wine for the purposes of distribution. I'm going to sell them, but being that you're selling them in the market, and being that people know that when they go to the market, they're not getting grade A, they're only getting grade B, so therefore, all of it could be grade B. Masha ain't cane. If the buyer says to the seller, I want to buy this seller of wine, and I would like to buy it because I'm using it for cooking, so then it mostly has to be grade A. 90% of it is grade A, 10% of it is grade B. The Gemara says that's the way we're going to resolve the two brises. Ha damarle lemikba, ha dalo amarle lemikba. De Rav Zvid damarle lemikba, brisa dalo amarle lemikba. Okay, and the Gemara just spells out that Razvid's brisa, that meaning that's what he learned in the Yeshiva Rav Oshia, that's going to be for wine for cooking. Mashayin came, the first brisa of the Amud Aleph is where it was not intended for cooking. Hilkach. And therefore the Gemara says, now let's conclude. Let's get to basic halacha over here. Martiv Shayin va'amar leila mikba. So let's say that the contract was, I want to buy the seller of wine. And in the contract, it was also clearly articulated that the wine is going to be used for cooking. It has to be 100% of it's good. Why 100%? Because you didn't say the word zeh. You said martev shel yayin. And you say it's lemikba. So therefore, it's all going to be good. Martev zeh shel yayin v'amale lemikba. If I say martev zeh, this seller, and it's also expressed that it's going to be for cooking. So it's mostly got to be good. 90% of the barrels have to be of grade A quality. If 10% of them are not grade A, but grade B, that's okay. Martiv Zeshal Yayin Velo Amarle Lemikba. So let's say I say this seller of wine, but I do not articulate this for cooking. So then, no, so Yayin and Nibka Bechanas. All of it could be grade B wine, but of course it's still got to be wine, just grade B. The kind that's sold in the store. Okay.
What happened to when he says what?
Vinegar is only when he says martev, without using the word yayin. Because then it's... Right. Why wasn't that in the summary? I don't know. Okay. That's a good question. I don't know. Okay. Ibai lehu. Martev shel yayin velo amar le lemikba mai. So what if, let's say, the contract was martev shel yayin, but not using the word lemikba. So, again, it has to be an entire cellar of wine. So, he didn't say the word zeh. So in other words, didn't point specifically to this one, but at the same time, he did not say also that it was going to be for cooking. So pliki bar Ravach Ravina charam mekaba v'charam lo mekaba. So is there going to be an acceptance of a 10% margin of error? Machlokes amarayim man damer mekaba daik medrav zvid. So the one who says that yes, there's going to be a 10% margin of error. So we can learn that from the Brisa of Zvid. Why? Because diktani. Because in the Brisa of Zvid, what does it say? Martev shel yayin ani morchalach. No sin lo yayin shekulo yofe. That I'm selling you a martev shel yayin, and it's got to be all good. Vokimna da'amar alei lemikba. And over there, the ukimta in that brisa was that we said that it was for cooking. Time adam le mikvah. Okay, good. That's because we said it was for cooking. We expressly articulated it. Halo amar le mikvah mikabel. But that means that without introducing that language into the contract, an absence of that language would seem to indicate that there's a margin of error, specifically 10%. Mandam le mikabel. Now the one who says no, that even when I say the word martov shayin, and even if I didn't say that it's lemikba, all 100 barrels have to be grade A. Why? Dagmi brisa diktani. So he makes a deal from the other brisa because it says martov shayin ani mochalach nosen layin shekulo yafe. That if I say the words martov shayin, it has to be 100% good. Vokimna delo amalei lemikba. And over there, he did not add it was lemikba. That's the ukimta that we gave in the brisa. And yet, once you say martov shayin and you do not say the word zeh, all 100 barrels have to be good. A grade A. Ulaman de daik midarazvid kasha brisa. Now, the Gemara is just simply going to cross over. What is each Amara going to do with the other brisa? So the one who was medaik from Zvid, what is he going to do with the other brisa? Chesur mechzer v'achiktani. Okay, the other brisa is missing a little bit, and we're going to add. But that's only when you say that it's for cooking. But if you didn't say that it was for cooking, so then there's an allowable margin of error of 10%. Now, just continuing in the brisa, if I say the words martev zeh, this cellar, and I didn't say it was lemekba, no sin lo yain, and chanos, all 100 barrels can be grade B. Now the one who was medayik from the brisa, what is he going to do with the brisa of Rav Zvid? Do kim damalei lemekba, because the ukimta we gave in the brisa of Rav Zvid is that it was for cooking. Halo amalei lemekba mekabo, which means that if you don't say that it was for cooking, then there's an allowable margin of error of 10%. Who adin daafagav de lo amalei lemekba? But the Gemara says no. Even if I didn't say that it was for cooking, still it's all got to be good, no margin of error. Lo mekabo v'hayu do kim damalei lemekba. Now we did say that it was articulated, it was expressed, it was for cooking, but that's only because of the stira between the two brisas. But without the stira of the two brisas, if all I had was that brisa by itself, I could easily say that whether you say it's lemikba, whether you not say it's lemikba, if I say martif shalyayin, it's all got to be good with no margin of error, no 10% margin of error. Okay, adkan.